Why not?
They didn't give us anything. They said that if we were ill, we should die soon anyway, and it would be a pity to waste the food. I can't go on anymore. I gave him what was left of my soup, but it was with a heavy heart. I felt that I was giving it up to him against my will. No better than Rabbi Eliyahu's son had I withstood the test. He grew weaker day by day, his gaze veiled, his face the color of dead leaves. On the third day after our arrival at Buchenwald, everyone had to go to the showers, even the sick who had to go through last. On the way back from the baths, we had to wait outside for a long time. They had not yet finished cleaning the blocks. Seeing my father in the distance, I ran to meet him. He went by me like a ghost, passed me without stopping, without looking at me. I called to him. He did not come back. I ran after him. "Father, where are you running to?" He looked at me for a moment, and his gaze was distant, visionary. It was the face of someone else. A moment only, and on he ran again.
Here in Buchenwald, Ellie barely notices the crematory ovens that once would have terrified him. All he cares about is sleeping and eating, and for the first time, he wishes he did not have to take care of his dying father so he could have more soup for himself. Ellie feels he's no better than Rabbi Eliyahu's son, the boy who let his father die because he didn't want the burden of caring for him any longer. But I don't think Ellie is really like the rabbi's son. He feels ashamed and guilty for even thinking about abandoning his father. And in the end, he brings his father soup and takes care of him just like always. Ellie's father has been behaving strangely. To Ellie, it looks as though he is having visions and is not himself. I think this is a sign that more and more, Ellie's father is slipping away from this world and moving toward the world of the dead. Let's continue on page 102 with Struck Down.
Struck down with dysentery, my father lay in his bunk, five other invalids with him. I sat by his side, watching him, not daring to believe that he could escape death again. Nevertheless, I did all I could to give him hope. Suddenly, he raised himself on his bunk and put his feverish lips to my ear.
Eliezer, I must tell you where to find the gold and the money I buried. In the cellar, you know.
He began to talk faster and faster, as though he were afraid he would not have time to tell me. I tried to explain to him that this was not the end, that we would go back to the house together, but he would not listen to me.